The Lord gave me a dream here just late. And in this dream, he brought this thought to my mind. I believe every one of us here have good intentions, or should I say, have a mind to make heaven. That's what we're living for. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, it'll do you good to really consider. Time is swiftly passing by. You would turn with us. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 18. Someone can read that for us.
But we all with open face.
But we all with open face.
Beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord.
Beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. Are changed into the same image.
Glory to glory.
Glory to glory.
Even by the Spirit of the Lord.
Even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, my thinking tonight is, as the Lord brought it to my mind, one word. And that word is clear. Clear. What does clear mean? Free from cloudiness, muddiness, blemish. Easily seen. Quite a thought. Clear. And I believe if you and I today have our minds and our intentions pointed toward heaven, we're going to have to be clear.
Yeah.
Seem like in our society, in our world today, is so much cover up. So much pushing under the rug.
Yeah.
Too many dark things in the closets. And I'm finding out that in living for God more and more, as looking at Jesus is beholding ourselves looking in the glass. Now, Jesus is clear. He's clear. No doubts and shadows about him. Well, when it comes down to you and I, no doubt you ask the question, and in our world today, it's hardly many people at all is not saved now. Everybody know the man. I've been told I know the man. I've been in this way a long time. But we're talking about something that's easily seen. Something that without a shadow of a doubt about it. We're talking about Christianity, folks. We're talking about living a life that's clear. Living a life that you don't have to have any doubts about that individual. I have problems with somebody says I'm saved, but yet there's a lot of shadiness about it. Not really coming clean. Not really laying it right down and say, all right now, this is what it means to live for God. It means to live a clear, distinct life.
Yeah.
Just at home.
Yeah.
Come on now. Just at home, everywhere you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The report ought to make it back home that she's clear.
Right.
I got a book at home called Sermons by the Devil. I don't know if you ever seen a book like that, but I came across that book through some of the brethren, and they have every kind of message in that book that you can think of, or the devil can think of, because he has sermons to a businessman, something for an individual. But I'm thinking tonight, as the Lord brought this thought to my mind, you and I, when an individual comes before God and give his heart, I want to be saved, that's going to have to be, you know, there's a clearing that starts before you even get to God. You know what I'm talking about? There's some things that you stop doing before you even get to God. Because the Holy Ghost begins to work with you prior to you getting to God. And when you get there, I'll tell you, it's not hard to turn a lot of things loose, is it? Clear. The thought now is, and I trust that we look at it in this way, we cannot, if we say I'm saved and love God, if you and I have repented of our sins, there's no other way to live but clear. Clear. Read that scripture for me again, Brother Tony.
We all with open face.
And we all with open face.
Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord.
Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now notice here, it says, we that are beholding the Lord are changed. The individuals that has his eyes set on God, I think the scripture says, he that hath his hopes in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Now there's a clearness about you and I living for God that you and I are going to have to live Bible standard, up, down, in, and out. Clear. Easily seen. Here's another one for you. Sharply defined. Pretty good in there. Sharply defined. Don't have to just have a doubt about it, but it's so distinct, it's so pure that when I look at it, I can sharply distinct that that's right. Clear. You ever had someone ask you a question and you didn't tell them the whole truth? We can say, all right, yeah, yeah. You kind of got quiet right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, I didn't lie, preacher, but I didn't tell all the truth either. You know what I'm talking about? I'll give you an example of my own self here. I have been dealing with my wife about cutting back on the long-distance call. You know what I'm talking about. We love getting on the phone and talking long distance. And we forget about how much it costs until the bill comes. Well, I had been dealing with her about that. And this particular morning, I kind of got a feel that I wanted to talk to somebody better. I want to talk to somebody. So I ease in the bathroom, and I'm talking soft. And I'm thinking she's asleep. See? So after I made my calls, I made about five. And after I made my calls, I eased back into the bedroom. And she raised up. She says, who did you call? Well, I had called several people. So I began to name you some. Oh, I called Avis Remco. Who else? Well, I call a local call here at home. See, you know what I'm talking about. And the Lord just sitting there listening to see where I'm going to go now. And now I got to the point where I said, well, now if I tell her that I call long distance, she's going to get under me. See? So now I'm trying to hold back. And she got a way of dealing with me. She looked at me and she said, is that all? Well, now, see, to keep from telling the whole truth now, what you going to do now? Well, now, why are you asking me all of these questions? I'm not on the witness stand. You know how it is. When people begin to press us close, when people begin to deal straight right with us, we begin to kind of get a little bit on the uneasy side when we're not clear about it. Well, I don't have to answer all these questions. And the Lord smote me right there. come clear. Come clear.
Yes.
Honey, I made 3 more long distance calls. And I'm thinking now she's going to fuss because the devil and blow it all up. She said, oh, I just wanted to know. See what I'm talking about, folks? You know what I had to do? Yeah, you know. I had to get down now and ask God to help me. Lord, I want you to help me from this day forward not to be dealing in those shady areas like this. Keep the way clear.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, brethren, we know how to do that kind of thing. Don't tell all. But I'm thinking here, the things that the devil can try to bring to our attention or try to offset us, many times we get caught up and don't even know we caught up. Clear.
Yeah.
Clear living. Clear, honest living.
That's
now, that's another word, wasn't it? Honest.
Right, yeah.
We're living in a dishonest age.
That's so.
We're living in an age that, folks, is just plain dishonest.
That's right.
You think the devil will help you to be honest?
No, we all know that, don't we?
Clear.
Yeah.
Sharply, I like that one. Sharply defined.
Yes.
If your wife had to get up tonight and testify and you gave her 20 minutes to say, honey, listen, give the wives 20 minutes to tell on the husband, don't stop her. I wonder what her report would be. You know, some of the wives, they try to pretty it up for us. Lord help us. But we ought to be living such a way and such clearness that the neighbor can testify for you.
Amen.
Huh? That the neighbor can testify. Don't have to ask me. Ask the fella down the street.
Right.
He'll tell you what I believe in.
Oh, yeah.
He'll tell you how I see it.
Right.
Oh, don't ask that neighbor. He never had nothing good to say about me yet. I guess he hasn't. Not when we're not living clear.
That's right.
Clear. Sharply defined. Notice another one here says, easily understood. Oh, that's precious. That's precious there. Easily understood. Someone looking upon us ought to be easily and easily understood what I'm about.
Amen.
You know, in a meeting like this, when God start pouring the gravy over the rice, we don't know what we're going to have. Amen.
Yeah.
We just need to come out and just eat. Lord help us. But we're living in a time, folks, that the Lord is soon to come for his people. And we're living in a time now that you and I have to live such a clear life, such a clear way. Oh, what change salvation brings to a man or woman, boy or girl. What change? Somebody get the 24th chapter of Acts. Let's do a little reading. You know, when they brought Paul here before the high fellows. And there's a scripture down there. You might read verse 16 through 18. Let's read that.
Herein I've always exercised myself to have a conscience void of sin.
Is that clear, living?
Is that strict, straight living? Is that the kind of living as the people of God is God requiring?
Yeah.
Is this the kind of living? He said, here I exercise myself, always having a conscience, always, if you please, having a conscience void of offense.
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Clear.
Clear, distinct living. I'm not confused about this thing. I'm not confused, not one little bit. Somebody come up and say, well, listen, maybe you don't have it just right. I believe this is true, folks. I don't have to even look for it nowhere else. I believe this is true because I believe the Lord has shown me down in my soul. This is true. The devil fights so hard against it. It's true.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I got to do? You and I are going to have to get ourselves in a place to receive it as truth. The same gospel that was preached to them is preached to us, but it didn't profit them anything because they didn't believe. And you see what I'm talking about? Because they didn't believe, it wasn't mixed with faith. And you and I can come here in this big gathering and get the same meeting, get the same word of God, and it can go right on and don't profit us anything. Clear. Young folks, get a hold of this. We need to live clear everywhere we go. It shouldn't be hard at all to distinguish between right and wrong. When it comes down to living for God.
That's right.
Shouldn't be hard at all. And it should be more easier to tell the difference when you look upon it.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's something about, I don't know, maybe in your family, you might, they can probably put you behind maybe closed doors or something, and you can tell your wife's voice, the way different moves are. Maybe the things they do. Well, you know, God pays attention to us. I have my daughter is, you can put my daughter behind a closed door and put me on the other side and say, I want you to tell me who's this here. How would I distinguish? How would I tell? I said, let her go to the refrigerator and get me some ice. It never fails. She's going to drop 4 or 5 cubes every time. I can tell her, see? Point her out. 4 or 5. Put them back there. She'll drop it every time. Lord, help you and I. I love the Lord this evening, don't you? And I want to make heaven. But I'm thinking for you and I to make it, we're going to have a change wrought in our souls to the point that we're living sharply defined, clear, everywhere we go. Everywhere. Down at the grocery store. You don't have to have a change of clothes. Huh? On the job site. Lord bless us. Looking in the glass now. I guess every one of us know how we look when we look in the mirror. But think how clear. What do we see when we look? Well, why did we come to the meeting? I come to help me, Lord, to live more clearer. To help me, Lord, to know how to grasp the things of God. You know, this is just not a scenery route for me. Coming around those big curves and down those hills and up the mountain and on the other side. It's just not a scenery route. You come way down this far and then don't go back with anything. No, this is not where I came. May God help you and I. But listen, folks, we're living in the time now that the Lord is soon to come for his people. And if you and I are not going to live clear now, I wonder when. I wonder when. Free from cloudiness.
Yeah.
Let's help clean the clouds going.
Right.
This thing has such power to it till it cleans you out and up.
Yeah.
See? A cleansing.
Yeah.
Many times folks cannot get the full help that they need to their soul simply because they don't come clear. They don't come clean. They don't come right down to the point and deal with it. Kind of like I was dealing with my wife. I'm kind of going to give you just a little bit, and then maybe you'll quit asking me questions. But you know, I'm counting even at dealing at an altar of prayer. When folks come down to pray, lots of times, I don't know if they want me to deal with them or not, but when they come down to pray, I'm dealing for life and death. It's too light to be dealing on the sideline and not really dealing clear. You need to come clean. You and I, may God help us. That's why the Lord give the spirit of discernment. When folks come down, we are able to look you dead in the eye and begin to even pull some of the things out of you that you don't want to tell.
That's right.
Why, I got to answer all these questions. You want to be clear, don't you? Dealt with a woman one time at the altar. She came to the altar and we tried to deal with her and say, well, sister, what is it that you want? She said, I'm not going to tell you. Folks, you have folks like this. They come to the altar and you got to pump them and prime them and try to figure out what is your problem. Yes. We don't have a guessing game here. It's no time, but we're dealing with life and death here. And it's time when you and I deal. You want help, you want to come clean, you want to be clear, come straight. Folks get to the altar many times. You know, lots of times it don't take the Lord 24 hours to save you. It don't take him 24 hours to save us. We stay down and we whip the ministry and we beat up on him and we get him to guessing. And this one, what do you think, brother? I don't know. What do you think, brother? I still don't know either. And all you have to do is come clean. Too many folks go back and don't get help simply because they don't come clear. They do not operate clearly. They're operating under dishonesty. Hiding, covering up. Can't do it. You got to come clean. Got to come clear. If I'm the man that's caught, thou art the man. You want to see how fast an individual get help? Let him come clean. Let him tell it like it is. Had a sister one time, pastor came over to her place. The husband wasn't saved. She was saved. And oh, she's laying it out of how things have been going. The husband waited a while and then he started talking. Pastor told her again, this man's not saved. You're the one need help. Listen, folks. We can paint all kind of pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And we can say, oh, I'm doing fine. I like to be in the closet when pressure hits.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm just bringing the thought.
Yeah.
I don't have the time to get up in folks' closet and see what they're going to do. No, but the thought is, when pressure hits, when you and I are not clean and not clear, I'll tell you, we'll have some problems. Come down to trusting God for our healing. All right. Come down to dealing with God for our healing. You don't want no sideline preacher praying for you. Lord, help us. Somebody that's in and out, up and down. When you be anointed, you want the Lord to hear and answer prayer. Come clean. See? Preacher got to be clean. You got to be clean. Clear. Looking in a glass. How often do we look in this glass? How often do we take time to look in the glass that so reflects Jesus? That so reflects the Lord. Oh, we got no doubt. Everybody just about I run into now is about saved. Everybody you ought to run into now, I go to church. I got saved. And yet I want to do my own thing. Can't do it. Won't work. Clear. I don't know what you think about this little thought. You pray for me. We ain't finished with it yet. Clear. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Very familiar text of scripture. We read it all the time. And no doubt you read it. But when you begin to really look into it, when you begin to really look down into the depths of the things that the Lord's trying to help us with. Lord, give us understanding. I thought about when Elijah told him, said, Lord, open the young man's eyes so he can see. You know that's my prayer. Lord, open our eyes that we'll be able to see more. That we'll be able to see Jesus as he is. Clear. All right, 2 Corinthians 7 chapter. Notice now. Godly sorrow, it worketh something, doesn't it? And it works the repentance down in the soul not to be repented of. It works something in a man, woman, boy, or girl that when I get a hold of the Lord, I want to live for Him. My whole heart and mind, life and everything is set on this. And Lord, I'm looking to You for the deal and to work with me. And as You reveal light upon my pathway, that's what I want to walk in. Amen. I don't want to walk behind light. I don't want to walk in front of light. I want to walk in the light.
Yes,
so now, this will shine and show up every man, woman, boy, or girl. It'll show us up. Many times we may close our eyes. Many times we may say, that's not me. But here, Paul, in all of his writings, he just simply wrote a letter.
Now, Lord, help us.
How many of us obey just a letter?
You ever thought about that?
Just a letter. Godly sorrow. The reply now of the letter Paul had written here is this. For godly sorrow now worketh repentance. It digs deep. It gets down on a man when he's on his bed and he's recognizing that I'm wrong. Now it begins to work something. It begins to work something in a man, woman, boy, or girl that I want to begin to get clear of this. I want to begin to come clean now. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Not to be repented of. Read on. Now you've been around folks. Some folks just sorry they got caught. Not really sorry. But the reason I'm sorry, I got caught. Fellow stands about 6'4" and he caught you. I don't believe you're going to rush up to him. You would quickly humble our heart and you were about 5'7". Godly sorrow. Work it. Many folks don't get saved, don't get the real help they need, because they haven't reached a place where they're real godly sorry. Maybe somebody spoke to you and said you need to be saved, and maybe you got nervous and scared and say, yes, I do. But have you really thought about it and considered, Lord, I need to be godly sorry. I need to recognize that I sinned against You. I need to recognize that I've done You wrong, Lord. I want to be clear. Read on.
All
behold this self same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort. Now wait a minute. Did you say carefulness? Living for God is carefulness. Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. Folks, don't you know we can't say anything? Because I got a mouth and tongue and can talk. You know I just can't say anything? You know what carefulness is about? I can't do anything. I can't go the places that maybe other folks say, well, you all are just bored. And I wonder why they figure I'm bored. I'm happy as I can be.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing. I do whatever I want. And what do I want to do? Drive all the way up here to be in need. Isn't that why you're here?
Yeah.
Huh? You drove all the way, some from California, some from Oregon, some from everywhere to where.
Yeah.
Why did you drive down here and spend your money buying gas to get here? Because you wanted to be here. Now, coming this distance, I want to get what's on the table. See? I don't want to come this far and don't eat. What carefulness. I want to get home with that thought. What carefulness it wrought in you. It's a team. things take place. You may have been a talker and give a person a piece of your mind. When Jesus get a hold of you and get through with you, guess what? You learn how to shut up. Amen. What carefulness. I have problems when folks say, oh, I love the Lord, and you do anything, you say anything, you go anywhere. No. You get pretty quiet right there, didn't you? Get pretty quiet right here. Lots of people, may God help you and I, we think, well, I can live for God and steal the Lord. All you did was, you saved my soul, but you still gave me 5 senses and for me to do what I want to do. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. You are sold out when we come to say we're living for God. Clear. Sharply, keep in mind now, sharply defined. I like the way salvation does a man, a woman, or whoever comes in contact. Don't you know it's hard to come in contact with Jesus and don't change? It's hard to come in the presence of Jesus and something don't happen. What are you talking about? The 19th chapter of St. Luke tells us, Zacchaeus. Let's read. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho.
Oh, there was a man named Zacchaeus.
There was a man named Zacchaeus.
Now
wait a minute. He had enough money, or whatever he was rich with, that he could have bought that little piece of property where Jesus was walking and coming his way. And could have got everybody out of the way. You know how the president, when he comes by, don't you? I ain't never been to where the president come in, but I'll tell you what, I've read about it and I heard about it. When the president come in, I'll tell you, they just block off the streets. Well, one day he was passing down New Orleans and we had to all pull on the side and wait. To me now, I mean, I realize you're the president, but my goodness, I still got work to do too. You know, I mean, I need to get going and do my little job too. I got to sit and pull on the side and wait till you pass. Lord help us, but they roll out the red carpet. Everything stops. That's for the president. What about Jesus? Lord help you and I. Zacchaeus could have rolled out the red carpet and could have just walked right out to where Jesus was and waited on him. But he didn't do it that way. You and I all know how he did it. A grown man climbed the tree. Amen.
Yes.
Read on.
He sought to see Jesus who he was.
But you know something there, it says he sought to see him. There's a difference in it.
Amen.
He wanted to see Jesus. He had an interest in Jesus to the point that he wanted to see him. Paul had an interest in what he was doing before he was converted. And he was very up to par on what he was doing before the Lord changed him. Until after God changed him, Paul put everything he had into living for God.
Amen.
Everything. The thing that he gained, he counted them as dung, lost, won for Christ, for the excellency of Christ. He was looking for something.
Amen.
He was looking for the very, to fellowship his suffering.
Yeah.
A change. Zacchaeus, climbing the tree. He sought to see Jesus. See, anything come less than this kind of desire, we missed it. Now that's facts. Anything come less than this desire. Now whether you just got saved, your desire will still be the same if you it's true and honest with God. If somebody's been saved 15 years. See, the desire to please God, the desire for the love of God in my soul, it's the same desire.
Amen.
Zacchaeus sought to see the Lord. He sought him to see him so badly until how many folks would put that kind of effort? Climbing a tree. What happened?
ran before him. He said unto him, Zacchaeus,
make haste
and come down.
Today I must abide at thy house.
Now notice, folks, Jesus coming on scene now. Jesus coming on board now. I'm going to abide at your house. Young folks, get all of this. Jesus come to abide at your place. Everything lights up. Everything becomes clear. You want to know why a lot of folks can't really hold a good, true experience? Simply because of the fact that they don't come clean, come clear. You know the instructions here. Many times I instruct the young folks around my way too. I said, change your company. Why? It's hard to catch a lot of folks praying all night anymore. You know that man in the Bible that sat up there in the window and there looking at Paul preach all night? I wonder what happened if it happened here like that. See, we just preach all night long. One preacher sit down, another one get up. And after he sit down, another one get up. And we just go all night long preaching the gospel. What you think would happen? Oh, I love the Lord now. Keep in mind. Would I say, oh, I tell you, why don't those preachers sit down? Can't they wait? We're here for 10 days. Why don't we just do it every day for the next 10 days we're here? Everybody, we just get up and just preach all, have an all-night preaching service. Well, we get kind of quiet right through here. Preacher, please don't put ideas in folks' heads. Listen, folks, I'm trying to bring us a thought. When it comes down to loving God, when it comes down to say we love God, we ought to be willing to walk whatever line. But we have to walk. Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house today. Make haste. Come down. And this writing always blessed my heart. Because when he hit the ground, or as he was hit flying down, he began to repent and tell him what he's going to do. What did he say? Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord,
Lord, the half of my goods.
Now, you don't have to go stretching things out. But notice, the half of my goods. What are you going
to
do with it? I'm going
to
give it to the poor. What else you say?
Now,
maybe I missed somebody. Maybe I done somebody something that I forgot. Maybe I didn't. You know, maybe I'm supposed to do that and I didn't do it. But you know what, Lord? I'm thinking about doing. If I've taken anything from any man but false accusation, I want to restore it to him fourfold. Now, that's a profit, isn't it?
Yeah.
$4 for one, if I can use that term. That's a good profit. But look at the thought. Look at the thought and the theme of the whole setting. I want to be clear.
Amen.
I don't want no shadows over my shoulder coming up later saying, now, Zacchaeus, you remember when you did me wrong? No, I'm going to take care of it fourfold.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the devil say, now, you ain't going to have nothing hard at all left when you start doing all that. But I want to take care of it.
Yeah.
What carefulness it wants in you and I. If Zacchaeus has to do it, if Paul has to do it, if all the other brethren has to do it, then where do we get all that? folks, I want to say this to us. In this very meeting, I believe if there's no doubt, we've come from far and near. And you and I come to be in this meeting to be a blessing, to receive a blessing, to get help. If you come to get saved, if you come to get a spiritual blessing to you, you're going to have to come clean and clear, and you'll go back with the goods. You'll go back with it. God will meet you here. This day, see, salvation has come to your house. This day, not tomorrow, right now. He liked the attitude of Zacchaeus. He began to digging down deep. He began to want to be clear. And I say again, may God help you and I as we dealing at the altar. Deal clear. Deal honestly. Don't make the ministers come up with a guessing game. Too many times we've had to, and back to this lady that we were talking about, we asked her what was the problem. She says, I'm not telling you. Brother Herschel and some of the other brethren, we were there laboring with it, and we talked with it, and we prayed with it, and we looked at it, and she, I'm still not telling you. After about a half an hour, we looked at each other and said, all right, you won't tell us, and we're not guessing, so we're going. Well, wait a minute, all right, I'll give you a little bit. And we were there another half hour almost, just she giving us a little bit at a time. Well, Lord help us. Well, you see, when I come to an altar, I don't want everybody to know my business. You ever heard that before? They get quiet right here. What kind of business we have? If I've done wrong, I need to deal with it. That's God's business now. That's the Holy Ghost beginning to deal with us now. Oh, may God help us. Clear. Zacchaeus had such a mind and such a heart toward God after God when he sought to see him and found out who he was. Then he began to deal fairly and open. Clear. Keep in mind, we're looking in a glass. As we beholding ourselves, and I'll say again, many times we say, and we said before, we have a mind that I intend. You know, I don't intend to be lost. I intend to be saved. I intend to get help. Just take it easy, preacher. I intend to get help. But you know what was told to me, and I believe it so truly? Good intentions is stepping stones to hell. Good intentions is stepping stones to hell. If you're not careful, you and I have good intentions and never will take care of them. Never will take care of those good intentions. We're just having, I intend to be saved. I come to this meeting to be saved. Well, why not now? Some people got certain days you want. I want to be saved on Friday. Folks, we're dealing with a just God that we cannot come to him and say, I want to be saved on Friday, or I want my special preacher to preach, and then I'll get saved. First of all, coming to this kind of meeting, I'd have got saved at home and come in and join in. I wouldn't have let it wait that long to drive down here. Something might have happened between here and there. See? Folks, I don't understand. Many times people procrastinate and put things off. Know they need help in their soul. Know they need to be blessed. Know they need to come clean. But they still will deal from a dishonest place. And that very spirit that continue to deal from those kind of places will so follow you and keep you at it. And I'll tell you, it'll be hard for you to continue to get help because you're not dealing from a clear place. But you want to know something when you come clear and clean? You deal straight. You deal straight. I'll read the definition again. Free from cloudiness, muddiness, free from blemish, easily seen.
easily seen. Well, wife, can you testify for me? Can you tell her about just how I am at home? You tell on me tonight, and I'll tell on you tomorrow. And we'll see what we got. Lord, help us. Clean, clear. Well, somebody said, why is it that you always got to talk about husband and wife? I tell you what you think this whole setup is about. What do you think this whole setup is about? Don't you know where the devil deal with us at home and we come into the church with it? Bring it to the building, and that's where all the problem is. Husband sitting over on one side, wife on the other, and praise the Lord, brother, we're doing fine, really. Really now. I was sorry they made bucket seats when they did. Lord, help you and I. This is where a lot of problems at, folks. May God help you and I. The devil deals in the home, and we come down to the church with our little, you know, smiling like everything is all right. And when the smile's all gone, everybody gone, we go back to sad sack again. You know what I'm talking about. But we don't come clear. Oh, I love my wife. Sure you do. She loves you too. But I'll tell you something else. You probably just as much a burden to her as she is to you. We don't look at it from that standpoint. Preached a message one time, he said, I'd like to see all the wives go home and sit down, lay down, maybe whatever, and get a piece of paper and write everything you dislike about your husband. And give it to him and let him read it. Don't let him write what he dislikes, just let him read what you don't like. Tell him to work on it for a while. You think you have a lot to say? Oh, God, help us. When we become the dealing clean, clear. Oh, may God help us. And I'm seeing more and more that our agreement of a prayer and pulling so together, it means so much to defeat the purpose of the devil. Clear. I believe we all love the Lord. But you know, when we say we love God, it takes a real closer reality than what we've many times realized.
That's right.
Clear. Easily understood. I paid note to some men. We were down in Florida. Paid note to some men how that they was having some marriage teachings. And as the husbands was coming with their wives, they were looking out of the window. They said, oh, there's brother and sister so-and-so. Oh, that looks nice. And they, people pays attention, doesn't they? Clear. Lord, help us with this thought this evening. That you and I to live in such a way, first of all, salvation brings a change deep down in the soul of mankind that he don't want to live no other way. That's number one. I don't know about you, but I'm having difficulty many times when I'm trying to work with some of the young folks, and they got quite a few questions now, and we're living in a world now where it says we don't understand. This is just a world now that nobody understands anything much anymore. And y'all don't understand us as young people. And I've no doubt you ask that question tonight. How many young folks feel that the old one don't understand? They probably raise up both hands. Well, I asked a question one time. I said, since we don't understand, what is it that you understand? What is it that you tell me what you understand and what we don't understand? Here, this fella 45 and you 15 and he don't understand some things. That's quite a change, isn't it? I mean, how did he get to be 45? He jumped over the place you are? May God help you and I this evening. We're living in an age and a time that the devil is bringing these kind of things to folks' mind that we don't understand. I'll tell you, may God help you and I. We need to get a better and a clearer understanding and the teaching from the Word of God. Lord, help us. Help me in my home. Help me with my children. Help me with my wife. That when I come to service, that our prayers won't be hindered. You pray for me. Oh, what clearing of yourself.
What behemoth desire.
Listen. What behemoth desire.
What indignation.
What indignation.
What zeal.
You know, when I got saved, I really wanted to get after the devil. I really wanted to give him a blow because it did me so bad and so wrong. And I got to live it for God. I said, now, devil, thank the Lord for being saved. I wanna live it now.
Yeah.
What desire? Oh, what carefulness. Many times, folks, we don't live as careful as we should. We say, I'm saved. We say, I love the Lord. But you know, many times we don't live as careful. We don't have that desire. Remember one time the Lord gave me a thought, loss of interest. You know, when you lose an interest in something, it don't value much to you anymore. When you begin to lose an interest in things, I said in a marriage, you lose interest in your wife and it's not much of a marriage anymore. No, it's not a marriage anymore. You lose interest now. You know you got to do those bodybuilding things to cause that interest to stay there too. And you know she's going to cook the pies and cakes that you so love. I don't care if y'all are going this way. She still want to show you she loves you.
Yeah.
To keep the interest in it.
Yeah.
You get a marriage and let it become common and no interest at all.
Oh my God.
See how much prayer be put in it. But you know, you keep the interest in the thing going. You're careful about. I mentioned this the other day. Opening the door for. Come on, brother. Come on now. You mean to tell me we don't open the door for mama anymore? Lord help us. Try it. It works. The roses. Oh, I tell you, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Lord. The roses. What carefulness. Do you know when our children sees husband and wife, if you please, portrayed the love. It brings a carefulness in them.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
When they see daddy respect mama, they're going to make them respect mama.
That's true.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
I believe I got that right.
Yeah.
Right.
When they see daddy love mama, and that's going to make them. Oh, I want to be a husband just like my daddy.
Amen.
I want to be just like him. When they see daddy bringing the roses home, oh, brother, stop here and take the candy money sometime. Bring a little rose home. Maybe you can't afford a dozen, but bring one. Put it on the table with a little note and say, I love you. What carefulness. Don't you think that carefulness that's over there is still at home too? Oh, yes, it is. I'm going to say this and sit down. It's hard to get most of the children now to say please and thank you. Pass me a piece of bread. Give me the beans. Wait a minute. Stop it. Say please. Pass the bread, please. Thank you. Honey, you burnt the toast. So what? Lord, help us. See, right through here, folks.
That's
what
right.
Carefulness.
Oh, yes, Lord.
What carefulness it wrought in us.
Yes.
Let me tell you what the devil gets stirred up at. You get mama stirred up at you. She ain't wanting to cook for you. And then when you come to service, let me see you be able to praise God right.